many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Barbara Jean Lindsay is an internationally acclaimed psychic, spiritual healer, author, and founder of the online mystery school Esoteric University. As the cosmic oracle, she is a conduit to the powers that be to answer your questions about your future self, past lives, current career, love. She shines light into the darkness to illuminate what was, what may be, and beyond. The readings and advice given by Barbara Jean Lindsay are for entertainment purposes only, should not take the place of any medical, legal, or financial advice given to you by a qualified professional, and are not a substitute for medical, legal, or financial advice. If you need a doctor, call a doctor. If you need to be expanded, call the Cosmic Oracle.
Secrecy agreements and all that, when people that are not are sent to Mars, this would be broken up there pretty quickly. You know, it's really something how they did a disservice to you, Dr. Bull, because he was a professor of astronomy from MIT, and they called him a crackpot afterwards from first conclusions, and that pattern has been very unbroken in a lot of fields. I mean, they've called Nobel laureates crackpots for saying things they didn't want them to say. Like, for example, when Linus Pauling said that vitamin C cured cancer, that's perfectly true. Intravenous vitamin C does cure cancer, or at least has a high probability, but they didn't want that to be told and tried to discredit him.
Well, this is just pretty amazing. The photo itself is just pretty amazing. So, now this one is an interesting photo. If you see it, if you're not online, you can go to Facebook and go to Barbara Jean Lindsay, go to Cosmic Oracle Show, and we're live there now. It looks like a triangle, a pyramid, in a beautiful turquoise color with writing. It's like a red square and a purple circle and a red line. And so we're going to make it a little bit bigger. Hopefully I can make it a little bit bigger for us so we can get a better view of it. There we go. So let's see.
It looks like volcanic rock that perhaps has a layer of that blue-green algae on the surface, but that red and purple writing or whatever it is, if that's real in the picture, that's definitely man-made or
right.
made by intelligent beings.
Right. Do you think it's someone who took the photo and marked it up?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like that almost, right?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I wouldn't stake my reputation on it, but
right.
And in any event, even if that's not real, it looks like the rock looks like it's been shaped somehow.
Right, because it has that dusty right side to it and has this
yeah.
clean front to it.
And triangles are not a very common shape in nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
It is so beautiful, though. It is really a beautiful. We don't have that color. It's a turquoise and a blue and a just a spectacular color that, like you said, could be caused by algae or maybe underwater possibility.
Yeah, that the blue green algae will not grow unless there's a fair amount of water nearby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it grows underwater that much, but it needs to be moist.
Yeah, it is just spectacular. So let's go on to the next slide.
Yeah, that's a river valley on Mars, and I included the slide to show people that that the blue-green or the green is mainly in areas that are low-lying and that probably have a lot of water, which means that it is probably life of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, algae, I think.
It looks deep, though, right? Does it look kind of deep, or would that be just in the photo itself?
Oh, it's kind of deep. It's a river valley.
Mm-hmm. But if you see the photo, it's this goldenrod yellow with these beautiful oranges and a little bit of red overlay with this snake-looking dark green cut out like a deep canyon in there, right? That it deeps down in there.
Yeah, if you went down there, I think you'd see a thick layer of blue-green algae or maybe even moss growing.
Mm-hmm.
There's some slides on here that look like moss growing on the surface of Mars.
Mm-hmm. And then if we look up in the middle of the photo and go on up to the left, there's like a square, kind of a box-looking thing there. And then in the middle is a real circle cut out, a very small circle. Do you see that, Steve, with the line?
Yeah, that's probably a small crater. There's lots of craters on Mars that's near the asteroid belt, and it's been pelted with a lot of asteroids and meteorites over the years.
Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful photo with the light coming down on it, right? All that light coming down on it.
Yeah.
And where would the light be coming from?
From the sun, I suppose.
I would think so, yeah. All right, let's go on to the next. Oh, this is interesting.
This is a very strange picture. Group of persons that put this image online thought it was a turtle, but I'm not sure what it is, but it could be some sort of life form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe it is a turtle. I'm just not sure, but it's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unusual, to say the least.
Yeah, it does look like a turtle, a big, fat turtle.
And
we were looking, and I thought maybe it was large, but maybe it's just a small, depending on the photo. It's hard to
I think it's about 18 inches long, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to tell scale with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there could be animals on Mars. I mean, so we're going for nothing.
I think there probably are. There's pictures that have been interpreted as dead insects, rodents, and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see more animals
coming
in some of these slides coming up.
Okay.
Here's a fossil of a seashell, most likely.
Is that just a wild, wild photo? So
there's lots of fossils in the rover images.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, NASA sent the Spirit rover to Gusev Crater on Mars because there used to be a lake in there, and they wanted to use that site because they thought it was the most most likely to have fossils, and apparently they were right, but the minute they started seeing some, they backpedaled and said it was not fossils at all. It was something else.
Huh?
You know what they say about NASA, right?
Yeah.
NASA stands for not National Aeronautics and Space Administration, but never a straight answer.
Well, hopefully they have a right to change that and make it right, yeah? If there's a chance that they might have to do that because things are changing so quickly with the...
Well, the lower people in NASA don't know anything about this and are just believing what their higher-ups are telling them, mm-hmm. and the higher-ups are under orders not to reveal this.
Right. Well, you and I don't have any kind of restraining order or anything. So
no, we don't. And everything I'm telling you, I'm quite confident is true, even if it sounds strange.
Mm-hmm. And so this looks like that Fibonacci sequence, right? 369 and the whole... Yeah. The whole thing with the shell there.
No, I mean, one thing is that on Earth, this would unhesitatingly be called a seashell.
Yeah.
And some of the slides that are coming up would be called plant life, and some of the other slides would unhesitatingly be called evidence of man-made objects or past civilization, but apparently they apply different rules to Mars, and I think that's not the correct procedure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a desolate ocean bed of some sort.
Yeah, it's the bottom of Gustav Crater, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful. Well, the next slide. This is a strange one. If you look at this, it's like three photos within one photo. To the left, it looks like a small little pinpoint possible crater. In the middle is a cube, a perfect cube. And then to the right, it shows you a bigger picture of that cube with its shadow.
It reminds me of the monolith on the movie 2001.
It does, doesn't it? I was thinking that too when I saw it. Isn't that
regularly shaped is not natural.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely this is natural.
It can't be. It can't be, right? And we haven't been there enough to leave anything, right?
No, and I neglected to put in the slides of the Cydonia region with the pyramids and the face on Mars, but I have another even better one that's coming up, the larger face on Mars.
Okay.
But... there's structures and shapes and pictures in the ground all over Mars. I mean, so I think it's still inhabited at a low population density, but even if it weren't, this is very good evidence of past civilization there.
Yeah. And then this, gorgeous.
That's the South Polar Cap. It's mostly water ice.
Yeah.
I include that to tell people that there is definitely water on Mars.
It is just absolutely spectacular. If you look at it, it's kind of a beautiful, subdued yellowish brown with this white, beautiful white swirling. Almost looks like a pine cone turned sideways in a white ice encapsulating the ground surface there.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, when they first started sending spacecraft to Mars, the polar caps are much larger. And much of the ice there was apparently CO2 or carbon dioxide ice and dry ice. And the planet's evidently gotten somewhat warmer since then. And this may be evidence that this so-called global warming, even if it's real, is probably the sun heating up and warming up all the planets, not just Earth.
Right. So it has a cosmic connection to us. So Mars has a cosmic connection with us because of its location in our solar system, right?
Well, it's the planet right next door.
Yeah.
And if there's life on the planet right next door, that makes the entire UFO alien thing a lot more likely in the public mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they're covering it up.
Yeah. It's really spectacular. Our next one. This one's great. I love this one. Okay. I'll let you talk about it, and then I'll describe.
Well, I'm not sure about this one. It could be a rock, or it could be somebody's binder they threw out a long time ago.
Yeah,
but it certainly looks like an old shriveled up, oxidized binder.
It does. It really does. The photos of this beautiful orangey brown rust color in sand. And underneath the sand, this reddy orange sand, it looks like slate. Reminds me of slate, thin slices of slate.
I think it is slate.
Oh, okay. And yeah, then and then in the middle, it looks like a notebook. I swear to God it does. So it's kind of fun to play with that idea of that, right? That we could have been there and we talk about the Space Force, the United States Space Force, and
they've already been to Mars. I mean, the secret space program was on Mars a long time ago, and it was top secret. But they know about all this. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure they do.
Mm-hmm. And then are preparing for us to come visit, right? Eventually.
Yeah, I think they're preparing their stories, and what they're going to say when Musk's people arrive.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask our listeners, if you were given a ticket to Mars, would you take it? You know, how would that feel like? You know, and how long would it take to get there? Do we have any idea? And not in a portal, but
with the Starship, it should take about 3 months.
About 3 months to get there.
That's doable. I mean, the minimum energy orbit time is about 9 months, but that's borderline not doable. But 3 months, I think, is doable for most astronauts.
Yeah.
Especially if they send two ships and tether them together and spin them to provide at least minimal artificial gravity.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. We'll go to the next one. Okay. Well, if I didn't know this was a picture of Mars, I would think it's a picture in the Midwest, someone's cattle ranch with a whole bunch of trees. And
yeah, me too. It looks like a low resolution picture of a pine forest in Wyoming or something.
Doesn't it? It really, truly does. But it's not. It's a photo of Mars. And so we were talking about that earlier, that this is that forest or trees or shrubs or what would you want to call that?
Small trees, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those plants are probably about 12 feet tall or something like that.
Yeah. They look amazing. It looks just amazing. I just wouldn't expect this to be on Mars. So we have to switch our mindset of what we think Mars is and what it really is and what it can be.
Yeah.
Okay. And then this one.
Hard to say what those are for sure, but they look like bushes to me.
They look like bushes or trees again, or some kind of a bush or tree. It looks like ridges, right? Some ridges.
This is an area where there's a lot of water. I mean, obviously there was water flowing down there at one point.
Right, you can see because it made all these ridges, and it's actually torn into it. You can see where it's pretty weathered. Okay.
So all the listeners are seeing this?
Yes, they are.
All right, wonderful.
Then it also looks like a piece of white chocolate with some specks on it, too, with some chocolate specks. I don't know, but, you know, I'm just saying. Okay, we'll go on to the next one.
Now, this is from some pretty strange stuff. There are these tubes, for lack of a better term for them, all over Mars are about 30 feet in diameter approximately, and they're supported by these highly reflective ridges of some sort of material that is apparently to support whatever material the main material is.
Hmm.
And I don't know if they're dwellings or some sort of transportation system, but they're all over Mars, and they're obviously artificial. I don't see anything like this could form naturally. And NASA's very closed-mouthed about these things. This is not the only picture we have of them by a long ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of has like a soft pink hue, like almost like a rose quartz-looking color with these white, very thoughtfully placed white tubes, right? Like a hoop.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the color is natural or not, but for sure the whatever that rib material is made out of is highly reflective, as you see in the next slide. And maybe metal or some sort of conductive polymer, I'm not sure. But it's, in my opinion, definitely not natural.
Yeah, it almost looks like a rose gold, but that could be just the coloring of it. And it looks like a opening in the middle of it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a cave or opening. And
my speculation would be some sort of transport system. And there we see a large spot of light reflecting off one of the ribs, and that's further proof that it's a very highly reflective material, whatever it is. It's not rock or anything that would be natural, I wouldn't think. Most natural materials are not highly reflective like that.
Wow. Pretty amazing. That is just... It kind of reminds me of like a vacuum tube, you know, or like when you connect like a vacuum, it has that corrugated where it expands out.
It could be. I mean, we have plans on Earth to build a subterranean train system on maglev tracks that operates in vacuum, you know, several hundred miles an hour. Maybe this is the equivalent on Mars.
Yeah, yeah. Because not only does it have the hoops, but it looks like it has some definite definition around it as well.
You know? I think if you could actually go there and see this object, you'd be blown away.
How big, how tall or big do you think it is, Steve?
They said they were about 30 feet in diameter
mm-hmm.
or more, a little more. This one perhaps looks a little bit more than that. The area... in the lower right of the picture is probably the standard diameter of about 30 feet, and it seems to widen a bit. Maybe it's branching into two tubes there.
Oh, yeah, it could be, huh? It does look like that.
Yeah.
Or it's going around something, right? It could go...
Yeah, perhaps, and maybe it's going around something in the center.
Right, right, and then...
Yeah.
That's what it's doing.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like that's where the light is or some kind of a meeting place or something like that. And then you hop in the tube. It's like the tube. It's like, you know, when I lived in France, you'd hop on the tube and the train underneath and just there he went, you know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So now we'll look at this one. It's just wild.
Blow it up a little bit, please.
Yeah.
This is a picture that a lot of people have seen on the media. I'm not positive what to make of this. My first knee-jerk reaction was that it was a gray alien in a spacesuit. But the fact that it has a long arm sticking out like that indicates that it's not made of rock or it could be a statue, but if so, it hasn't been there very long because the earthquakes would have knocked off the arm a long time ago for ancient, like some of the Greek statues, Greek and Roman statues.
Yeah.
And I think that it's highly unusual. It's evidence of intelligent life there, whatever it is, whether it's a statue or an actual being.
Yeah, it's the feeling that I get from it, it's almost mermaid. Looking to me. I don't know why, but that's the sense I get from it, that it's like up on a temple-like cliff. There's that flat landing to the left that also maybe had something on it as well. And then to the right, there's another platform a little bit lower. So it's almost like
who knows? A few years back, National Geographic said mermaids were real, so... If so, they're probably aquatic aliens that crashed Earth a long time ago.
But it's interesting. For me, and it would be more like, it feels like more like a temple, because I would go there with it, you know? That's been covered up.
Well, it could be a statue, but I would argue that it's not ancient if it is. The arm would have broken off long ago from Mars quakes or whatever. that were extremely ancient.
Yeah, and I would think that if it's a real person, it wouldn't have that same natural coloring as the stones do next to it, right? The rocks that are next to it.
Well, you never know. It might be wearing a camouflage spacesuit, for all we know.
That's true. That's true.
It'd be good not to be spotted too easily.
Oh, that's a great, great idea. So it's like it has like a chameleon, right?
Yeah, I mean, our government's working on and probably have aircraft to change color and such things like that. So, I mean, maybe they have it. They almost certainly have it too.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about that possibility. I like that possibility because it has all.
It could be wearing a suit that changes color to match its surroundings.
Right, right. It's definitely a figure. It has long hair. It looks like medium short hair. It's a long arm and a hand of some sort. Looks like it's in a sitting position. It's interesting. So I'd like to hear what our watchers on Facebook, what do you think this image, what does it remind you of?
Yeah, let's hear what the listeners have to say about this.
Yeah. We have to go through it and then we'll talk about it, okay? I have to go, because I don't think I can go back and back. I probably could. Should I stop here and then we'll see if I can bring it back? Steve?
Let's go ahead if it's a problem.
Yeah, okay. I do want to know what you think about that. Okay, and here's another one of the photos.
Okay, blow that up a bit.
Okay. Please.
Now, that is definitely bushes of some kind. Mm-hmm. I would stake my reputation on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a Fibonacci sequence. The branching is a Fibonacci sequence. And unfailingly on Earth, that constitutes plant life.
Oh, yeah.
Or life of some kind.
Yeah, yeah. Bushes and ice, right?
Probably. It looks like snow is on the ground around whatever those objects are, but right. They're bushes.
Yeah. Wow, and some of them are quite tall.
Yeah. Maybe as much as 50 feet tall or more.
Yeah. And then multiply this one.
That's a photograph taken by the European Mars Express spacecraft of Gusev Crater. And it's interesting that NASA never came out with a photograph like this. They seem to want to cover up the green. There's a lot of green on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that later with some of the Hubble Space Telescope and amateur photos that have been taken at Mars. You know, I include those because they're the only ones that don't go through the the secrecy/security process.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in case some of the listeners don't know, every photograph that comes from space is shown to the public goes through the NSA first for sanitization or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They take out anything they don't want you to see first.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. That's good to know. And this is the beautiful planet itself?
I believe that was taken from the Hubble Space Telescope back in 1995. And there's a lot of dark green there. You can see that.
Yeah.
And that's almost certainly plant life or lichens on the rocks.
Mm-hmm. And the red.
And you can see on the left-hand side, toward the center, but on the left-hand side of the photograph, you can see a bunch of craters there that have a lot of green inside, and that's where most of the water would be.
Yeah, yeah, you can see that. Should I try and close up on that?
Yeah, please do so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That may not be a smoking gun, but I think it's close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Also, one thing that I want to point out in this picture is that the limb of the planet, the area, the top of the atmosphere right where it meets space, is blue, not red. I mean, NASA often publishes these redded out photos and indicates that the sky on Mars is red, and that's just not true.
Yeah, it does have a blue hue to it.
It's either blue or it's a kind of a light gray, depending on the weather.
Yeah, it almost has like a purpley blue on the right side.
Yeah.
Like a violet, lavendery blue.
Well, it hit me a few years back that there's no reason that a carbon dioxide atmosphere like on Mars ought to have any different of a color than an oxygen nitrogen atmosphere like we have, because it's a molecular size thing, not a composition thing that determines the scattering of light in the atmosphere, and the particles are so small in the atmosphere on Earth and on Mars that it scatters mainly blue light from the visible spectrum.
Look at that, just gorgeous. And then this one is just an amazing photo.
That's the close-up of one of the water seeps into one of the canals.
Yeah.
And you can see all the green there. There's algae growing there, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And the ridges from the water cutting through. They must have had a lot of water. Not no water, but a lot of water, right?
There was much more water in the past, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Probably before Mars was hit by objects from Mars. Mars, by the way, most likely a moon of a planet that, the original planet four in that orbit that exploded 65 million years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why half of Mars is heavily cratered and half is not. The half that's heavily cratered was the half facing towards the planet when it exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And that explosion probably ripped away a lot of the planet's atmosphere, explaining why it doesn't have that much, that dense of an atmosphere today.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have gotten rid of a lot of the water, too. But there's still plenty of water for colonization or for using the planet.
Yeah.
There just aren't big oceans anymore.
It's just beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And then this is that, I want to call it Sedona color. A Sedona color.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And the color is almost identical between Sedona and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Or most of Mars, anyway. And it ranges from the blue-green algae to that dark green to the red we're seeing on the left-hand side of the photograph here.
Hmm. And then those are the big where it hits the craters. Those are the big craters.
Those are craters, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are asteroid impacts from very long ago, maybe a billion years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and these are some of the animals possibilities, right? I mean, the one on the bottom left looks so real. They look like...
Yeah, that's an actual Mars photograph, too, and that looks darn near identical to some of the rodents on Earth, guinea pigs and such.
Mm-hmm. It's furry little creature.
Yeah.
And built low to the ground. And the color.
I would have thought that there was enough oxygen on Mars to support such life, but all we have is NASA's word. I mean, they say that the oxygen content is about a tenth of a percent. Maybe it's more like 10%. I don't know. We won't know until we get there and need some independent measurements. But I also think that NASA's estimate of the atmosphere of Mars being 1/100 the dense of the Earth's is not accurate, because the ground-based astronomers thought it was about 1/10 as dense as the Earth's, and there's a lot of evidence to back that up from their data. And also, we have other data that indicates that the dust devils on Mars that they've been seeing since the rovers touched down in abundance cannot be duplicated at 1/100 the Earth's atmosphere density, but they can be duplicated at 1/10. I think they just moved the decimal point on the pressure data. They're saying it's 6 to 9 millibars. I would submit it's probably 60 to 90 millibars.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fascinating. You'd want to see this. It looks like just a real little fat, little furry being alive. It looks alive for sure, right? Right.
Yeah, maybe they don't move around much. Maybe they don't need oxygen. Maybe they have a different metabolism. Who knows? I mean, it's a different planet.
And this is one of yours too, Steve?
Yeah, this Hubble Space Telescope in 1995. I have Hubble Space Telescope 1995 and Hubble Space Telescope 1993 or 2003 or rather. And this was Mars when it was covered by a lot of clouds. Apparently, it's kind of hazy, but there are some clouds on Mars, not a lot, but some. And one thing I found very interesting is that one of the spacecraft, the Mars Polar Lander, that landed in the North Polar region of Mars, actually photographed it snowing on Mars at one point.
Huh.
I'm sure most people don't know that, but
no.
You know, space geeks like me keep an eye on this stuff, and I remember that.
And then it has a cloud formation around it too. It's an interesting atmosphere, right?
Yeah, the atmosphere is quite cloudy there.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, they have planet-wide dust storms as well.
And these are some objects.
That's the only time when the sky is red is right after a dust storm, in my opinion.
All right, and then it settles down and goes to more of a white, you were saying?
Kind of a grayish or light blue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A light blue, maybe.
More like Earth. It looks a lot like Arizona when you do the true color images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They turn the red way up in most of the press release photos from Mars.
Hmm.
Try to cover the green. That's the most efficient way to cover the green is to turn the red way up.
Right.
Like in an old color TV when you could adjust the color with a knob.
That's right. Well, these they have some arrows pointing. It looks like some scattered rocks on a dirt base. And there's a square with a arrows pointing to the little rat type being there, right? I think that's a rat.
Yeah,
thing.
That's the same photo as the other one, I believe. Just
okay.
Just a wider view.
Yeah.
And that triangular thing, it just hit me. When we were discussing this before. Might be a very large shark tooth fossil.
Right, something like that, right? An animal tooth of some sort. And then yeah. We were also talking about in the forefront, it's kind of a more of a earthy-looking gray, green, blue rock.
Yeah, that probably has the blue-green algae growing on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be kind of ambiguous what that triangular rock with the question mark pointing towards it is, but I don't know what else that other thing could be, but some sort of an animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like the ones we saw earlier, I guess. That's the same photo. Yeah, it looks like remnants of something, right? It's not just rocks, because this gray green thing almost scattered like something's broken, has been broken.
Right, well, we're waiting for all this data. I've come to the same conclusion that a lot of this is not just rocks. It's like junk,
mm-hmm.
like you see in the deserts on Earth a lot of times.
Right.
Old junk that was crash ships or trash or something like that.
Yeah, like a junkyard debris.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
I can't prove it yet, but it just doesn't look natural, a lot of it.
No, it doesn't.
Looks like old rusted metal and such.
It does. A lot of it. And then we have this one taken from NASA.
Yeah, I mean, that's really bizarre, to say the least.
Yeah. What does this one make you think about? What does it make you feel like? What are some ideas about the possibility?
I think it's either a skull or a statue head or a space helmet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not natural. I think it's the odds are probably millions to one against us being natural because of the way it's shaped.
Right, the way it's shaped, it has the two eyes, it has a nose, it has a skull that looks like the side of the skull's maybe bashed in or caved in a little, like it's been...
Yeah, and this comes right out of, and in case anybody's wondering, this comes right out of NASA archives. The guy that got this on his website definitely took it out of NASA archives. I checked this myself at the time.
Yeah, Mars humanoid skull.
Yeah.
It was discovered by J.P. Skipper and Eduardo Lucina.
J.P. Skipper, he even got the actual coordinate of the photograph in the NASA archives on there on the top.
Yeah, they are.
Somebody wants to look it up.
Yeah. Well, we are going to stop here because we're going to go for a break. We're going to have like a break until 6:02, and we'll be right back for Revolution Radio. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, and together with Steve Colburn. and we are looking at photos, these amazing photos from Mars, to stimulate and expand your mind about what you perceive Mars from the past, and its big jump quickly into the future, right?
Unfortunately, people have been lied to, and things are not as they seem. I hate to be the bearer of bad news along those lines, but it really is true. I didn't believe this myself at first, but the conclusions are inescapable when you study this stuff for as long as I have.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try and see if I can go out of here and come back, all right?
All right.
Or I should just stay here. I have a feeling I should just stay here. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go and...
Okay. You know, have a break. We'll see you back.
I'll be back.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay. We'll see you at 6:04. Don't go away, everyone. We'll be right back. After a word from Revolution Radio, this is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, with Stephen Colburn and the Cosmic Oracle Show.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello and welcome. Ooh, what happened with that? Hello and welcome back to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, and we have with us Stephen Colbert. We took a little short break there to let you know about Revolution Radio. We're an all-volunteer station, and we come to you all day and into the night with some amazing, amazing shows. The way we stay on the radio is through your generosity, because we're an all-volunteer station. And so if you could go to freedomslips.com, that's freedomslips.com, or to revolution.radio, and give whatever you can, $2, $5, $10, to keep us on the air. We would really appreciate that. And thank you in advance. This is our ninth year that doing the Cosmic Oracle Show on a weekly basis, and it's just been a wonderful ride. I really enjoyed it, and bringing you people like Steve Colbert. And this image that we're seeing right now on Facebook, right, of this statue, or you know, I was trying to kind of scope it and take a look at it, and it's almost like it looks like a skull. It really does look like a skull, like a helmet or a skull, you know, that someone placed over their head, maybe. Also, it could be like a big helmet for, like, it have to be a giant or a gigantic guy or woman or person, I don't know, right? But it has definitely the two eyes, the nose, and it reminds me kind of like a old Roman helmet, if it was a helmet. But it's a nose that looks too real, too realistic with the nose for it to be any kind of a metal helmet or a helmet made from something other than a natural. It has more of a natural feel to the skull itself. So, so yeah, wow. So there we go with Mars, and we have a few more photos to talk about too. But I think I am, since Stephen's back yet, I'm going to stop here with the discoverer of J.P. Skipper, Eduardo Lucena, and he found this Mars humanoid skull. That's what he calls it—a Mars humanoid skull. Looking out on the desert plain in plain sight, and it was taken up by a NASA photo. So oh, Steve's back, that's good. All right, so we'll go to the next slide, unless there's anything else you want to say more about the skull, Steve.
No, I think we said all we can reasonably say about it. I mean, other than it's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
I stake a lot of money that it's not natural.
The odds are probably
at least millions to one that it's against it being natural.
Yeah, and that it looks man-made or handmade, right?
Correct.
In a way, and I was thinking, I was looking at it more, it looks like, it could be a skull of a giant, right?
It could be a Nephilim skull.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, more like that. Yeah. And just to play with it, it's almost like it could be like, it reminded me of like the old Roman helmets that they would put on. A Roman helmet, and it would...
Yeah. A little bit, no.
It could be like that.
But if it were a space helmet, it'd probably have a faceplate rather than two eye holes like that.
Right. And the nose is too protruding for it to be man-made, right?
Yeah.
So it looks, it's really trippy.
That's very much so.
That's a very scientific way to put it, but it's interesting. Yeah, and it looks huge to me. It looks like the head of a giant somehow. I wonder if it's buried underneath that, too, that's just a head and there's a whole body.
It could be a body under there. Or
right, laying down.
It could be a statue head and there's a statue body under there. Who knows?
Yeah, but, I think so.
It ain't natural, whatever it is.
Yeah, because the pool of the sand there, it's a little different on both sides of it. So that's interesting. So there might be something to discover. We need a... So would an Egyptologist or a archaeologist, what would you call... would be a Marsologist, you know, maybe?
Yeah, there's no such thing. I'm sure the government will make sure there's no such thing for a while yet. But,
man. Wouldn't you want to go and dig it up in the most respect and see what's there? I would. I definitely would. Yeah. All right, next slide.
Yeah, this is very interesting. This is taken near the Martian South Pole in the Martian Antarctic. This is where there's the most water on the planet during the summer in the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And just by coincidence, quote unquote, we see these huge trees there. Or at least they look like trees to me. And whatever they are, they're like 500 yards in diameter, the biggest ones.
Gigantic trees.
They look like huge banyan trees.
Yeah. And I like what you said earlier, that it's going to be the destination, the vacation destination.
I think these things are going to be the biggest or one of the biggest tourist attractions in the solar system someday.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. So it looks like these trees nestled in all of this snow and ice sheets, right?
Yeah, it's near the Martian South Pole, but it warms up a lot in the summertime at the South Pole.
And it almost looks like it has snow on top of it, dropping snow.
Probably a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those white little spots are probably ice and snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this one is an interesting photo.
Yeah, this shows a couple things. It shows that that this blue-green layer is a very thin layer on the surface, because the layer below that, the soil below that, is brown or reddish or brownish.
Mm-hmm.
And it also shows that the soil is probably moist. It looks very muddy. If it were dry, it wouldn't have these characteristics.
Right, and those tracks are from the rover?
Correct.
From Earth's rover. So those tracks are like in the mud, right?
Right.
It almost looks watery to me.
Yeah, it's muddy. Mm-hmm. It's mud.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, on a day when you see hail, you know, like it's...
I know
so
mud
cold.
When I see it, and you do too.
Yeah. That's,
apparently doesn't.
But you know, like when on a cold day where it hails and you have all the little white balls all around the bottom there? The little ice pellets. That's pretty cold.
Yeah. Those might be seashells. I mean, this is Giuseppe Crater, I believe.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of fossils there, apparently.
Let's see if we can see a little closer.
It looks like clam shells before at a closer view.
Yeah. Oh, they could be, huh?
Small clam shells.
Yeah. Oh, that's as close as far as close as I can get. Interesting, though. That a rover with the weight of it can dig it up that easily.
Yeah, the blue-green is a very thin layer on the surface, whatever it is. I think it's blue-green algae.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make sense because the blue-green algae needs to have sunlight in order to do photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And to live.
And to live. And so that's something we might have in common with Mars, is right?
It's a biological layer of some kind that requires sunlight.
And here they are again, a little bit closer view.
Yeah, the clam shells and the so-called Martian blueberries. The dark pieces there are the Martian blueberries. One article I read indicated that they thought they were the heads of fossil crinoids, which I think makes sense.
Hmm.
And the white ones look like clam shells to me.
Yeah, they have an oval shape to them.
Yep.
Wow, and they're in a mud. Is that a mud base too, or is that a hardened base?
Yeah, the entire bottom of Yosef Crater is muddy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Wow,
why NASA sent the Spirit rover there to begin with, because they thought it was a good area to possibly find fossils.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they find them, they don't say anything and try to sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, never a straight answer.
And then here's an interesting...
Yes, I included this view because that's the true color of the sky in the morning and the evening, perhaps, where the sunlight's not that intense.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a gray, and then when the sunlight is intense, it's more blue.
Mm-hmm.
Looks more like on Earth. Mars looks a lot like Arizona. It looks like Sedona.
Yeah, it does. I'm just gonna look at that landscape. It looks dense there, right? It looks dry.
Right, kind of dry. Yeah.
Kind of dry, yeah.
But one interesting thing is that the Viking landers indicated that the atmospheric humidity was 100% at all times. So, you know, even if it's true that if that pressure, liquid water, can't normally exist, where the heck is it gonna go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could evaporate one place and it's going to have to turn back to the liquid somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So the conditions are different than the laboratory conditions are talking about.
Yeah, and the vista of that, right? So we're starting to learn that NASA is kind of like California. It has all these different areas that are... like a Northern California compared to Southern California, and the density of the forest and the weather is very different.
Yeah, Mars has different ecological environments for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's deserts and there's mountains and swamps and most of it's desert, but not all of it is apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently it's not. And then this is our last photo.
Yeah, this is very interesting. This is one that Mr. Skipper discovered at his website. His website is MarsAnomalyResearch.com. I'm not sure if it's still up or not, but he was ill at one point a few years ago. But he really was a very good researcher of these photographs. NASA is trying to maintain secrecy now, in my opinion, by... putting so many photographs of Mars out there on the websites that it takes guys like me and guys like him to wade through thousands of them to find this stuff. But these are actual bona fide photographs from the NASA archives.
Mm-hmm. And so in this picture, you have an aerial view of it. And in between, what would you call that? Mine's the thalamus. In between the two structures is a hose coming up spraying liquid out of it, a nozzle.
Yeah, it looks like an industrial site to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does look like an industrial pipe. It really does. And then it has this dark, kind of very large, dark, egg-shaped structure. What do you make of that, Steve?
That doesn't look natural either. It looks like Mm-mm. a building with a rounded roof to me.
Mm-hmm. It does.
There might be a bunch of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. And then to the left of that dark egg-shaped building is another little small building that has some lights and a line, and it looks industrial as well.
And in the upper left of the photograph, too, are four what look like possibly the lights.
Right, right.
Street lights or something.
Right. So it looks like an industrial site, like maybe a city.
Maybe.
Really, if you spread it out from left and go across and then drop down over on the right, that it's this whole spread out kind of a city feeling. Because look at where underneath the question mark, if you look down, there's a cone pyramid shape that's shooting out a fountain to the left and up at the same time. There as well. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Or it's connected.
The Soviet spacecraft Phobos 2 actually photographed what looked like a grid pattern under the Martian soil in infrared, like there's buried cities or something.
Right, right. Well, even like these lines are like it's connecting it with something to something.
Yeah, it sure as heck does. It looks mm-hmm. like pipeline or something.
Yeah, it's like pipelines coming out of this dome-like structure, this egg structure, wrapped
that,
around
I would submit that line that curves to the mm-hmm. left there, mm-hmm. going around the building, mm-hmm. might be a pipeline supplying that liquid spray nozzle there.
I think it is. Yeah, it looks like it is. Why would it be spraying something there?
Waste products.
Is it taking out water, pumping out water?
Maybe it's industrial waste.
Industrial waste, yeah.
Maybe it's a chemical plant.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes up straight up also into a connecting web sort of a thing that connects again.
Maybe that's an underground water storage area mm-hmm. or something that supplies the water to the mm-hmm. the plant.
Right, and
they do whatever with it.
Mm-hmm. And then that dark egg shape below it are like 1, 2, 3, 4 little eggy shapes as well, again.
Yeah, you know, if they're trying to camouflage this stuff from orbital spacecraft, and mm-hmm. then this makes perfect sense that it wouldn't actually jump out at you about what's going on in that area.
Right. And if you go straight...
I bet you they are.
Yeah. And where the question marks are, but if you go straight up and follow that line up and then go to the right and then go to the very right edge, top or right, look at all the little teeny lines there.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed that before. That does not look natural either.
It does not look natural. It has an opening there, like a little cave opening there.
It looks like a giant heat exchanger mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm, it does. Oh, how exciting. It's very, very exciting. So it looks like an industrial, like maybe a city. Something's going on there for sure, though, right?
I think that there probably is.
And yeah.
That borderline between the light and the dark area, going from the upper right area to the middle to mm-hmm. the lower left area.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the borderlines of the city or the
right.
borderlines of this complex.
Right, because if you see like L.A. from up above, you know, you start, yeah. it looks kind of like that. It has all the lights all together, right?
Yeah.
That's a terrible analogy, but it's the best one I got. And you see...
Well, L.A. is not camouflaged. I think the site might be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they hadn't been spraying the liquid, people might not have noticed.
Right, and where that liquid shoots off to, up in that left, are again some of those line-looking things again. See it to the left of those four lights?
Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, giant columns of some kind. Maybe they're distillation columns. Maybe it's an oil refinery or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Because mm-hmm. it kind of fades out and goes with the terrain a little bit, too.
Yeah, oil refineries have gas flares all the time where mm-hmm. they flare off natural gas that's formed during the process.
Well, if you see on the right where it has the one liquid spray, if you go to where it's a spray shadow and go to the left, it looks like another liquid spray nozzle as well.
Yeah, maybe not active right now.
It's just not as, if you see a little bit coming out.
Perhaps,
yeah. So there's two of them there, not one, but two. And it also has kind of an eggy shape at the bottom of it. It looks like it might have rolled.
Yeah, it's symmetrical. So that's a good
mm-hmm.
point, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're highly...
We should be photographic interpreters for the NSA.
We don't miss a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating. It's just really, really fascinating. I love it. I could probably geek out on this all night long, okay? So it's just really amazing. Really, really spectacular. So, all right. Well, I guess that's our last slide, so we'll call that a stop share. Anything else you want to add before we close that part down, Steve?
No, I guess not. I had some other photographs in my Mars report that showed shapes and pictures in the ground and the pyramids at Cydonia and the face on Mars. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we got the other larger face on Mars in these photographs. I sent them to you.
I don't think I got them. I don't think I got those.
Well, there's a face on Mars in Cydonia, the famous one, and there's
right.
an even larger one in the Cygnus Media region of Mars, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting.
What we could do is I could, if you want to try and put it on Messenger to me again, I could try again. If you want.
All right, let me see if I can locate it.
Okay. And in the meantime, while you're doing that, I will see what we're saying over here with everybody. Woohoo! Well, we have some people talking over here. So we have Emily Blake Cassell. Season's greeting. We did that one. Hello, Jillian. Anne Marie. Hi, Barbara Jean. The stream for Studio B at Revolution Radio is silent. I fixed that. Thank you, Anne-Marie. There is sound now. Thank you. Thank you, Anne-Marie. I'm sorry about that. I thought I had pushed it and I hadn't. So Pinky Lee wants to know if there's copper on Mars.
I'm not sure. I'd say there probably is, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. This is very cool pictures. And Cindy Louise Schaefer says hi. And she likes what you said about NASA. And how much bigger or smaller is Mars compared to Earth?
It's smaller. It's about 4,000 miles in diameter, and Earth's about 7,500 miles in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is the biggest terrestrial planet in the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pinky Lee says, the Mars rover must not have roved too far because we're not seeing a lot of info from them.
That's gone quite a ways, but they're not showing us everything, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, she said she's been following it pretty closely, and some of these are new, and she really appreciates it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now I can't find it, but I definitely included it in my Mars report. Anybody that wants a copy of the Mars report should email me at s_Colburn@yahoo.com, and I will give you a copy, and it has a picture of it in there.
Well, yeah, I didn't get that. I'll put it in here. So for a complete Mars report.
It's the Mars report I gave you before that you saw.
Yes, Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Email. Oops. E-N-A. I'm sorry. Wait, let me email the following. Okay, which is s_Colburn@yahoo.
Yahoo.com.
All right. Voila. Fantastic. Yeah, I think people are real familiar with the face on Mars, though, right?
Yeah,
maybe
I think
just
so.
Pull it up. Face on Mars. We can see if we can get it. Here we go. So let me see if I can get that to share again. Let's see if we can share it. Share.
Here it is.
Oh, you found it.
I have it on my file here.
Okay.
On a Word file. Can you proceed over a Word file?
I don't know. I can share this.
It's page 15 of the Mars report.
Okay.
And let me perhaps email it to you.
Okay. Yeah.
You can do whatever.
Share screen. There we go. Share. So let's see.
Yeah.
I have that. Can you see that, Steve?
Just a minute.
I just Googled face on Mars.
Okay. Big face. Face on Mars. And I'm going to go.
Okay. Let me see if I can get that. And thanks, everyone. We're trying to find you the face on Mars, the famous, the infamous face on Mars. And we're kind of showing you some now that I pulled up from Google, but Steve happens to have one.
He's got perhaps.
Okay. Okay. Well, we could just use the one that I have pulled up now, if you'd like. Geologic face on Mars. Whatever happened to the face on Mars? Satellite spots. Face on Mars. And the Viking 1 image. And so
yeah, that's the original. The Viking 1's the original image of it.
Yeah. So they have one of 19. It's funny, someone put up at slate.com three different images of the face on Mars. There's a 1976, a 1996, and a 2001.
The 1996 is bogus.
Okay. How about the 1976?
1976 is real.
Okay. So I'm just going to share that image. Is that all right? Let's see. Can you see that at all?
That's a different face on Mars than the one I'm talking about, though.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm sending you the other face on Mars now.
Okay.
It's page 15 of the Mars report.
Okay. So I'm going to stop share. And you sent that on Messenger?
I sent it on email.
On email. Okay.
Your email.
Okay.
You can share it. You definitely share the other one too. But
okay.
This is another one that people haven't seen. I don't think.
Okay. So let me see if I can find that. And it's worth the wait, right, Steve?
Yes, it is.
To see this image.
It's huge. It's like 10 times the size of the other face.
Well, okay. And let's go to here. And Steve Colburn, big face on Mars. Let me open it. There it is. And I'm going to download it. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so let me, you know, I'm going to see if I can just share it this way on Zoom. I think it might just let me share it this way. So I'm going to try this. Let me pull this up. And just a second, let me go to Zoom. Back to meeting. And we'll go here. Let me move this up and let me share screen. Oh, and we have it. Share. So there it is. There's your image. And I'm going to try and make that bigger. Oops, not that big. There we go. Okay. So there it is, Steve. Do you want to talk about it?
I see I lost you. I don't know where your thing is now.
I'm sharing it on... it's not sharing?
I can't even find your camera now.
Okay, let me look.
Back here you go. Yeah, all right. Here it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, I see it.
Okay, fantastic. You're on.
The head on Mars and the Syrtis Major region of Mars. That's page 15 of my Mars report.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is huge. I'm not sure if it's half of a huge head or whether it's buried maybe from millions of years ago. But that's apparently real, and the government's been covering that up.
God, it's gigantic.
Yeah. I think that was taken by the Viking 1 orbiter.
Wow.
Gigantic. It's like 10 miles tall.
Yeah.
Come to Barsoom, right?
Right.
Something out of The Princess on Mars type of stuff.
It is. I love that movie still. If you haven't seen The Princess on Mars, I love that movie. The head on Mars. There it is. Now we're getting a good view of it. Can you see that? Well, now, right?
That has to be a Viking 1 photograph because the resolution's pretty low, but it's definitely enormous. I mean, I think people would be completely awed if they saw that in person.
I mean, what would you do? It's like a pyramid, the Great Pyramid, right? Like our
it's a lot bigger than the Great
it's
Pyramid.
It's a lot bigger, right? I just wanted to use that. Wow.
There was one heck of a civilization on Mars at one point to build that.
Yes. And look how soft it is, right? Still. It's chiseled. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the crystal skull. In a way.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it looks like...
Maybe the same people that built this made the crystal skull. Who knows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Yeah. Because there, something about it reminds me of that, you know, where it's so finely chiseled that a diamond point can't even do it, right?
Right. So what do the listeners think about this?
Okay, let me find out. Let me stop share then. That is amazing. Amazing, amazing. So let's go here. Let's go. Let me think of where I am. I'm going to put that over here. And we're going to go. Let me find it. Let's find where we are. Okay. I think we're finished there. Here we go. Okay. They're sending big hearts and all kinds of things. And it says, I'm sure the knowledge NASA is withholding is overwhelming.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So.
First of all, Lola's probably spinning in his grave.
Yeah. I mean, that is just... When was that discovered, that head?
1976.
I've never seen that. I don't think I ever saw that.
Neither did I until a few years ago.
Wow. And it's buried in the sand, right? We don't know if it's a full body, kind of like the...
No, we don't. Like, I suspect it is buried in the sand.
I think it is, too, and it's probably a full body there. Kind of like the
It's probably like a million years old or more.
Yeah, kind of like the Easter Island, you know, where they just had the guys with the hats and just right. their heads.
And a lot of those are buried in the sand. They're actual whole body statues, but
yes.
they're so old they're buried in the sand. They sunk in over time.
Yes, and no one thought to unbury it the rest of the way, right?
Until recently.
Until recently, yeah. So I think that something like that with that head, I bet there's a full body underneath that.
I bet it is, yeah.
Like billions of years, right? And thousands.
Oh, my God. That one almost extend above the atmosphere of her whole body.
It would, huh?
Standing on the surface.
Yeah, I think it could. So what were we capable of at one time, right?
Yeah, well, that's probably the work of the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
The ones mentioned in the Bible that have the mm-hmm. technological civilization on this planet that lasted until 12,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then, they're supposed to come back, so we'll see, right?
But they're coming back.
They're coming back, and if that's their sculpture...
I will welcome them with open arms. This place sucks anymore.
Well, it needs some help, that's for sure. We need some help here. Beyond that, right? But it gives me kind of hope that there's something that smart and that intelligent, right? Because it's not robotic, it's human, which is good because, you know, it's
humans are glorified monkeys anyway, so mm-hmm. there has to be something better out there.
Right, and so this could have a human head, but what kind of body, right?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like with the Egyptian Netaru, I mean, they have a human body with a lion head or Anubis with a dog head and a human body. Who knows, right?
Yeah, who knows?
But it's interesting that it's the shape a human face there, though. I find that interesting.
Well,
I wouldn't...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a work of the Nephilim.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect that. I always expected that if you're going to be living in on Mars, then you'd have to have a whole different kind of a body to be able to acclimate to be there. But that's because that assumption was built on the fact that their atmosphere, everything was so different. But instead, if we look at it where we have so many things that are like Mars, right?
Well, maybe they just had bigger lungs and mm-hmm. needed a little bit less oxygen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
right now, if I'm correct, and the atmospheric pressure of Mars is about a tenth of what the Earth's is, you could go outside with just an oxygen mask.
Huh.
And that would make the planet a lot more valuable than if you had to go outside with a spacesuit.
Right. Because then
if beings had just bigger lungs and need somewhat less oxygen, then it would be... Mm-hmm. Child display to colonize Mars at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Nephilim presumably had genetic engineering, so they might have genetically engineered people to live on Mars.
Right. Well, and so if there's the mask, I'm tripping on the mask. Okay, I am with the skull, the one that you just showed me. And with that, I mean, so okay. They were there, and then they colonized us. They came here and colonized us, and now we're coming back. Don't you find that interesting?
It's hard to say whether they colonized us or we colonized them, but in any event, there seems to be a connection between the civilizations on the two planets.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense they would, because it's a sister planet, right? Or
yeah, sure, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And in a cosmic point of view, that we could kind of give back and forth. It's interesting. So when did we all get so shut down from any kind of space activity or any kind of off-planet?
Well, since the glorified monkeys down here started believing the government or people in command about what's going on, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they won't believe anything unless it has official government, you know, sanction
mm-hmm.
or...
Mm-hmm.
Approval, and I think that's a mark of a very unintelligent species.
Well, it is, unless did we just like get dumbed down and dumbed down and dumbed down and dumbed down?
Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe we did.
Mm-hmm. And now we're coming back?
Well, hopefully.
Well, if we're gonna have any,
I know I'm not a monarchy, but I'm not sure about my neighbors.
Well, and then, I mean, do we have a chance? I mean, to really, I want to go off planet. I want us to be in the Galactic Federation, Brotherhood, Sisterhood, whatever you want. I want that for Earth. You know, we need that back again. We've been secluded and really slayed is a good word for a very long time. Yeah. And it's time we took the planet back, right?
Yeah, take back the planet. We're Revolution Radio, after all.
That's right, we are Revolution Radio.
We are Revolution. Little revolution now and then is a good thing.
Yeah, we're taking back our planet.
It's easy to say.
But I want to be off planet. I want to. I'm with Musk with his Mars project. You know, I want it. It's time. It's been way past our time. We've been so.
I've been waiting 40 years for this.
I know.
The fact that they haven't done it by now is prima facie evidence to me that they've already done it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to tell us.
Right, and so. Because they want to keep control. It's all about control and power.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we
but
went...
We have control.
Mm-hmm.
Power of the people. So... Power of the people in the revolution. Revolution Radio. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So if we... Okay, so in order to join, like... join back, okay, get back on the bus with the rest of the cosmos, you know. We have some growing up to do.
Yeah, the first thing people need to do is stop believing the government.
Okay.
And stop seeking approval of the government for what you think.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I mean, that's the most rudimentary thing out there, but people don't do it. Oh, my God, I can't believe it unless Washington... you know, approves it. And my God, you have to be more forward thinking than that. You have to be more independent than that. You have to believe what you want to believe. You have to go where the evidence leads you, mm-hmm. regardless of how controversial it is.
Mm-hmm. And in our day and age, that takes courage.
Yes, it does. But if everybody did it, they wouldn't be able to stop us.
Right, it would be much easier, much easier.
The only reason they can stop us is because only like 1% of the population does this, if that.
Mm-hmm.
If like even 10% of the population did this, they'd never be able to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 40 million people, mm-hmm. forget it. They wouldn't be able to stop us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people are wanting to go off planet, especially the new people. The young kids, the teenagers.
Yeah, well, demand mm-hmm. it from Washington that we know you have the technology to do this and we want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And come free with.
We know you're concealing stuff and we want you to tell us.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't tell us, we'll find someone that we put in office that's going to work with us and for us.
Yeah. Or march on Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
March, man. Like December 6th on steroids. Or January 6th, I meant to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll cure them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's, I'm talking about peaceful here, okay? I'm talking about a peaceful way to do it, too. I think we could do it that way.
Well, I said a protest. I didn't say anything about war.
Okay, that's good.
If people are willing to do war, that's even better.
Well, I think we have to just have our voices heard. That's a beginning. Awesome. Okay? We need that strong beginning here that I really want us to, before I pass, I'd like to see our Earth, that we are a galactic force and that we do have relationships with Mars. And we already do, right? We already know this. the whole Space Force.
Yeah, we do.
The Space Force has been around for how long, did you say? We're going to go backwards now for a minute.
The Space Force has been in operation since they put NASA online back in 57 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And they said publicly that the Air Force was out of space exploration, but that was BS. They've had a secret space program ever since then, and they've had anti-gravity-powered spacecraft since the 60s, from what I understand. And they've already been to Mars, they've already been to a lot of places, and that's a dog and pony show to convince the public that we're not that advanced, and to control the opinions of space scientists, or control what they let out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate.
Yeah. We just had Jan brought in an idea, but Jan, I can't talk to you on the phone because I have Revolution Radio on that. You'd have to type it in on Facebook if you can, but I think maybe you're just listening and not on the Facebook page, so I'm
can't
sorry.
Talk about what?
She had some kind of a reference for us that someone's doing some work on this that she was aware of, but I can't get it.
I understand. There's a lot of things I can't talk about on public forums as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. There's even bigger dynamite in the background, though, believe me.
Yeah.
Than what I've already said.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is I think we'll wrap that up with Mars, right? And thank you for sharing all your amazing NASA photos and your wisdom and all of your expertise on Mars. And here we go. Jan says Tucker Carlson is asking the government to come clean with it. He's on Fox Radio.
Right.
Do you know Tucker Carlson of him, Steve?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think he's doing a service by asking the government to come clean on it, but I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think the aliens are going to have to disclose to for the government to do it.
I think so, too. I think that's what it's come down to. They didn't want that, but I think it's come down to that.
They ought to land on the White House lawn and get out and wave to the public and say, here we are.
And take a photo op, right?
Yeah.
Well,
come on, man. Get a photo op.
Hey, they've done it before in the 1950s. Same thing. They've already done that. So it's not new. In August.
Yeah, but they ought to keep it up this time so that they can't continue to deny it.
Right.
One photo op over one day, they can deny. But if it's over like 100 or days or a year, they can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very difficult.
Yeah. Jan says the question is why. The answer is ominous. Ominous. Bum, 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 bum.
What's ominous?
Is why.
Well, I can tell you why. The answer is because they've been abducting people from their beds and from their cars, and the government can't stop them from coming into our airspace, and that's the last thing they want to admit to.
Right, and coming into our homes, right?
Yeah, our bedrooms, I said.
Yeah, bedrooms, that's right. And so why do you think they're hiding it?
Putting implants into people and programming people and putting people through alien programs and training regimens. And that wouldn't sit too well with the public.
Well, it's out of control here, really. Nothing's in control, right? They have it all in control, but so far it hasn't been. So, but
the government is not in control. The aliens are in control, if anybody is.
Mm-hmm. And have been.
Yeah.
So
there's so much more advanced. When I first got into this and first became a researcher, I was under the assumption that they were only a few hundred years ahead of us, but they're more like a million years ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
They can do things. I've seen them do things that I just have no explanation for.
Mm-hmm.
And the government probably sees that and just, doing doo-doo in their shorts. I mean, they're just not prepared to deal with this. And secrecy is the only way they, knee-jerk secrecy is the only way they can react to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just took the Band-Aid off, and so we'll see how big the wound is, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It's pretty deep. And we want some answers and the truth, and that's what the
Well, hopefully people believe us. I mean, I assure you that we're telling you the truth on this program.
Yeah, always. And so I think we'll leave it at that then, that we'd like to go to Mars, be an off-planet. I'd love to go on vacation on Mars, but...
Come to Barsoom.
I'll come to Barsoom, that's right. And so, but I love this Earth too. I really love it so much here. And it's such a beautiful planet. And I want to take care of her too. So,
yeah. Well, I'm an experiencer. If people didn't know, and the aliens told me at one point that that there's only four or five planets like this in the galaxy. And it's a very important planet to a number of species.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason that the aliens won't let us screw it up too bad.
Right, especially with the nuclear weapons.
They control our nuclear weapons, not the government.
Yes, they do. Thank God, I feel more...
They can launch or not, or inhibit launch whenever they want.
Right,
I have reason to believe.
Or stop it from launching, right, which they have done.
Yeah. Inhibit launch.
Yeah, prohibit it. Okay, well, I think we're going to call that our show, Mr. Colburn.
Yeah, sounds good.
So if people want to reach you at your Star Nanotechnology, and if they want an implant, or if they want, I recommend emailing Steve at s_colbern@yahoo.com and get his paper. He wrote an amazing paper. Like 35 pages, something like that, isn't it, Steve? I don't remember.
Yeah.
His complete Mars report.
I think that should convince a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So it's a
very well-written paper, if I do say so myself.
Fantastic. Well, we'll call that a show. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to all of our listeners out there on Revolution Radio. Happy holidays to all of you. Send love, big love to you and your family and your friends, and where we go together. So we'll be signing off and see you next week. We have Constance Victoria Briggs will be on our show next Friday, and she just has her latest book out, The Moon's Galactic Highway. I think that's what she says. Oh, no, The Moon's Galactic Heritage. Sorry about that. So we'll see Victoria next Friday. She'll be our guest, and Steve will be our co-host again. We're really, really happy to have you with us. And goodbye, and thank you, everyone, to Pinky Lee, to Jan Newell, to, let's see who we got, a whole bunch of people out there trying to get to you, but I don't know if I have time. Cindy Louise Schaefer, Anne Marie, Jillian Leonard. That's about it. All of you, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next Friday night. And
maybe that'll be about the structure of the space-time continuum.
Right. Oh, yeah, we do. We need to do that for sure. So good night, everyone, and we'll see you next week. And this is Barbara Jean Lindsay signing off, and have a wonderful, fabulous week filled with love and what else do we want it to fill with love and peace and joy for this holiday season?
Love and enlightenment.
Yes, love and enlightenment. And Steve Colburn, what's your sign off? I love your signature sign off.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I hope that everybody thinks for themselves.
All right. I love it. And thank you. Question authority.
Don't let the government give any wooden nickels there.
That sounds good to me. See you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the day from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives? But they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more.